Mike Seelig with KXRW Radio in Vancouver. Volunteer-run KXRW brings you my show, The Good Ship Earth, and a wide range of shows covering culture and music, interviews and issues. You can learn about our station and find all our shows at kxrw.fm. You can even help support us by clicking on the donate button on the homepage or go to the merch page. It's all there at kxrw.fm. I started The Good Ship Earth as a way to achieve a very ambitious goal: to produce shows that will help us make life more peaceful and prosperous for everyone. Before we begin, I'm asking you to give me your open mind and 2 half-hour blocks of your time to learn about what I'm calling our secret weapon. In this first episode, I'll share how we can engage in time-tested, scientifically proven practices to improve our minds, our health, and find a real sense of inner peace. In the following half-hour episode, I'll share a method of how we can go farther, how we can find that same peace for our country and the world that's been scientifically tested and verified. You might already know that the practice of meditation has provided millions of people with a way to help them deal with chronic stress and other maladies of the modern world. I've benefited from practicing meditation. But after years of trying different techniques, I wanted more and decided to take a course to learn the oldest, most widely known and studied form of meditation, Transcendental Meditation, or TM. I spoke with the director of Portland TM, Michael Huddleston, for this story. Michael was my teacher and has taught hundreds of students over the course of many years.
So you were just sharing with me how you got into TM, and I had not turned on the recorder yet. So if you wouldn't mind, could you go back to how you first found TM and why?
Well, we were talking a little bit about why people come to learn TM now, and my comment was, since I've been teaching TM for more than 45 years, I've seen a change. And when I started TM in the very early 70s, you know, I was a college student, and most people who began TM were college students at the time. And it's because I think our view of the world was that we wanted more out of life. And of course, that motivated us to do probably some pretty stupid things, but we wanted more. There was that sense, and I certainly had that feeling of, I don't know what it is. I'm not sure I understand much of anything, but I know there's more to life than this. As much fun as it was, there was still that feeling that there's more to life. And going to school at that time really was fun. I mean, we worked really hard at getting into as much trouble as we possibly could. And so I think that drive to expand life led us to probably make some dumb decisions, but we also did some things right. So that's what motivated us at the time, just that feeling of, you know, I want to understand this more. I want more out of life. We want more enjoyment, more fulfillment, more happiness. And it's different now. Even though the TM course is exactly the same, you know, if a person would have come to learn 50 years ago, it would be exactly what they would learn today. It's the same course, the same information, the same experience. What I found changes is the people who come and what motivates them. And I'll usually start the talk, the introductory talk, when people come to learn about TM, by asking what brought them in. And this is because people come for so many different reasons. People come because their physicians refer them to us. And there are physicians here in Portland who refer patients to us because of what they're experiencing with stress. And stress impacts every area of medicine. They tell me 90% of what they treat in hospitals is caused by stress. And so it can be chronic pain, it can be digestive problems, it's certainly heart disease. So all of those things are impacted by stress. So physicians send their patients. Therapists send their patients who are experiencing anxiety and depression, trauma of different kinds. We treat veterans with post-traumatic stress come to learn TM through different programs. survivors of domestic violence. So there's this whole range, but now it's mostly a matter of solving problems. And I think part of this is the product of the scientific research that's gone on over the decades. You know, stress is a function of the fight or flight response, which, you know, as an evolutionary tool will save your life. You know, let's say that you're driving down I-5, and let's say instead of the traffic you encountered today, everything's rolling along. So this is make-believe. Everything's rolling along. And suddenly somebody comes flying by on the left, cuts you off, and because they missed their exit. That is a life or death situation, right?
Potentially,
and
yeah.
That's where the fight or flight response kicks in and can save your life. And what happens when the fight or flight response kicks in? Most people don't think of it this way, but the first thing that happens is the most sophisticated part of your brain, the prefrontal cortex, shuts down. And this very primitive, the most primitive part of your brain called the amygdala takes over. The amygdala is the fear center, the lizard mm-hmm. brain. And what it does is reacts. And it screams, hit the brakes. So this change takes place in your brain immediately. And the reason this happens is because in that situation, in that life or death situation, reason, logic, analysis, all of those things that are the province of the prefrontal cortex are of no value. The amygdala screaming, grab the wheel, hit the brakes, that is going to save you. And that's what you do, right? And to facilitate that, that's what the brain's doing, but to make that happen, your body goes through these sudden changes too, right? What's the first thing you notice when you're in that? Your heart starts pounding.
Yes.
For a logical reason. It's pushing blood to the extremities, to all those muscles, so you can either fight or fly, so you can respond physically to the situation. Blood chemistry changes, the glucose in your blood becomes more available to the muscles so they can respond. You can run faster, jump higher. So all of these things are happening, and it all works. You grab the wheel, you hit the brakes, you save the day. So in that case, the fight or flight response is this great evolutionary tool. It does exactly what it's designed to do. Everything is fine. A few minutes later, your heart rate's back down to normal, you're breathing normally, you finish swearing, and you're rolling down the highway again. Everything's fine. Once or twice a week, fine. No damage done. But if it were to happen to you several times a day, every day, this changes your physiology. It changes how your brain functions. But this is why people come in, because they experience that over and over again. And whatever we expose our body to on a regular basis, repeatedly, it normalizes. It adapts to that. It thinks it's normal. So if you were to get up every day and run 5 miles, that would change your physiology. Your body gets used to it. You get better and better at it, and eventually you're running a marathon. The opposite is also true. If you get up, your alarm goes off, and you get that first jolt of stress, and then you're running late, and you can't find your keys, and then you know you've got to deal with traffic because now you're really in trouble, and then you can't find parking. All of that's before you even get to work. And that is creating stress in your body. And when you live that way, and that is the way a lot of people live these days, your body normalizes that. Your heart rate is creating high blood pressure. The chemical changes in your body, the blood I was talking about, creates the precursors for diabetes. We all know what cortisol is. It's a hormone in the body that's secreted by the body to deal with the impacts of stress. But when we're constantly exposed to it, we produce too much. It becomes toxic. It starts to attack all of the organs in the body. That's why cortisol is such a big issue. This is how the body responds, and it normalizes things. So this is kind of the world we live in now, and this is what brings a lot of people in. And they have to understand that this isn't something you can talk yourself out of. It's not because you're a bad person. It's not because you have to tough it out. Your whole system has normalized this style of functioning. And in the same way that the fight or flight response saved your life on the freeway, eventually it'll kill you. And it really does. It creates diabetes, heart disease. It affects everything. If it doesn't cause a problem directly, it exacerbates the problem. When you're under stress, your immune system is compromised. When you're under stress, you don't think clearly. And I'm sure you know that feeling. We all have that feeling. When we're under stress, you're reacting. You're not responding appropriately. You're not thinking clearly. So you're creating more problems for yourself because you're probably making bad decisions and creating more stress. So it really is this insidious process. And as the system is exposed to it over and over again, we normalize that. And that's how we end up where we are today.
I had mentioned to Michael before our interview started that I had to deal with a huge traffic jam driving in from Vancouver to Michael's office in Northwest Portland. Someone had been walking up and down the middle of I-5, jumping back and forth over the Jersey barrier. He was causing a huge backup. He even threw a small piece of garbage that hit my car. In my earlier days, before meditation, I would have at least sworn at the man. My blood pressure most certainly would have skyrocketed. I'm not always perfect, but because I had been practicing meditation for years, I was able to tap into a reserve of calm that was not there before. I asked Michael what that reserve was about.
You know, I mentioned this idea of being overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we tend to lose ourself to experience. Does that make sense?
Yes.
We're overwhelmed. We lose ourself. And this is because when we're exposed to stress, our perspective tends to be outward. You know, we deal with the world through our senses. We interact with our environment through our senses. Our awareness is projected outward. And so when that happens, our well-being, our experience of life is dependent on what's going on out there, which is what makes people so frightened and uncomfortable and anxious, because out there is, as you said, changing constantly, unstable, unreliable, and frightening. You know, we all would like to have a feeling that things are under control and everything's moving in the right direction. And if you watch the news, you were definitely not going to get that sense. So our sense of life, our possibilities in life, are dictated by all that stuff going on out there. And if it's chaos, we feel chaotic and anxious. Now, let's look at a different perspective. And this is the experience you have with transcendental meditation, which gives rise to the experience you have. What you're experiencing when you practice TM is the awareness turns within, and instead of being projected outward, this natural tendency of the mind to seek greater happiness draws the awareness in, and we experience our own pure, unbounded consciousness, this source of energy and intelligence and creativity that we experience in life. By experiencing that directly, we enliven those qualities, and it changes our perspective. Instead of being what I would call object referral, you know, that our point of view is dictated by the experiences we have outwardly, we have this other point of view, this silent, unbounded, blissful experience of our own pure consciousness. And as you have that experience every day, 20 minutes, twice a day, it changes your perspective. Instead of being object referral, you are now self referral. Your point of reference is not all the chaos out there, but this silent, unbounded, pure consciousness that is your true nature. That is the stability that you are experiencing today. Why you didn't react as strongly to the experience you had. You had what you described as this reservoir of yourself. And ultimately, that's the benefit. That's the reality. You're rooted in that. And so you're not a leaf in the wind anymore.
I can't emphasize how much meditation and being able to reach that reserve of calm means to me. Before we take a break, I thought we'd have a little fun and hear from some very famous people about what meditation means to them. I'll tell you their names after we return.
I meditate before I hosted the Oscars. I meditate before I go on stage. I meditate in the morning and lunchtime when I'm on a film set. It helped me in every way, I mean, immeasurably. I'm a way different person from when I began meditation.
it's the cure for like the common stress, which stress is a killer these days. And I have a lot of it in my life. And I have a great tool that helps kind of subside it.
Every day, you're just, the bar on the cell phone is all the way up. You leave the house and the charger is full. You know that tremendous feeling of power when your phone is fully charged? And somebody calls and you go, I want to hear every detail of this story. I am loaded with juice.
It gives me this peaceful feeling, and I just love it so much, and I talk about it as much as I can on the show without sounding like I'm preaching about it.
I could use my workouts as a form of meditation because I concentrate so much on the muscle, and I have my mind inside the bicep when I do my curls. And I'm much more tranquil because of that.
Everybody in the company meditates. 9 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the afternoon, no matter what's going on, we stop, we meditate. And that way of being still with ourselves, coming back to the center, and recognizing that something is more important than you, it's more important than the work you're doing, it's more important, brings a kind of energy and an intensity of energy and intention that we've never had before. And you can't imagine what's happened in the company. People who used to have migraines don't. People are sleeping better. People have better relationships. People interact with other people better. It's been fantastic. So the one thing I want to continue to do is to center myself every day and make that a practice for myself, because I am 1,000% better when I do that.
A big thank you to Craft Cannabis, formerly known as New Amsterdam, for supporting our radio community. Craft Cannabis now has 2 locations here in Vancouver. Both locations offer online ordering and curbside pickup. The Mill Plain location has an express window that now serves as a contactless option to pick up your cannabis products. The newest shop is located on Andreessen Road off Patton Parkway next to Home Depot. Both locations are open daily from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. More information available at craftcannabis.com. That's craftcannabis.com. Programming like this is brought to you by the generous support of our founding sponsors at ADCO Commercial Printing and Graphics, Clark County's local print shop since 1993. ADCO features stationery, posters, flyers, tickets, business cards, stickers, catalogs, and much more. Print on anything and mail anywhere. Learn more at adco1.com. That's ADCO, the number 1.com. Before the break, you heard from actor Hugh Jackman, singer Katy Perry, comedian Jerry Seinfeld, talk show host Ellen DeGeneres, former governor of California Arnold Schwarzenegger, and lastly, talk show host and entrepreneur Oprah Winfrey. They're only a few of the huge number of high performers in the fields of sports, business, entertainment, and plain old real life that benefit greatly from practicing meditation. Now back to my interview with Michael Huddleston. He spoke about where that very tangible reserve of peace and calm comes from.
You know, if you have thoughts, those thoughts come from somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to have consciousness to have thoughts. So we can assume that there's this unbounded field of energy, intelligence, creativity that is the source of thought. And it's not something that we have to create or develop. It's always there, and it's always been there. It was there yesterday, it's there right now, it'll be there tomorrow. It's always been there. It's not something we have to discover. It's there and it's accessible to us. We simply need to experience it. And that's what TM is. It's just a technique that allows you to experience your own unbounded consciousness. And again, the value of that experience is it enlivens those qualities in your awareness, and you then carry that out into activity. And this is one of the fundamental differences about TM and other techniques. TM is absolutely not about having some particular specific experience during meditation. There's no place to get to. There's not a right experience. Experience varies from meditation to meditation. It's not important. What's important is that you have that experience and it carries out into activity. So TM isn't about the 20 minutes twice a day you meditate. It's about the 23 hours and 20 minutes you're not meditating. That it's there to enhance life, to make life more enjoyable, more fulfilling. That's what TM is about.
In this next clip, Michael details what happens to the brain when you meditate. Then he shares a story of a student of his and her experience before and after learning transcendental meditation.
You know, we all kind of go through our lives and we're kind of routine and we have this tunnel vision about how we experience life. And suddenly everything opens up. You start meditating and it really changes your perception. Part of it is the effect it has on the brain. It creates this coherence within the brain. Called the experience during TM is called global EEG coherence, meaning every part of the brain is being stimulated, enlivened. Every part of the brain is communicating with every other part of the brain. This is important because different parts of the brain have different functions. And this prefrontal cortex is sort of the CEO. It's directing everything. If you have this coherence, every part of the brain is communicating, you have access to more in every area of life. Everything is enlivened, functioning in this coherent, integrated way. That changes your perceptions. You see things more clearly. You appreciate details you didn't see before. Colors are more lively. There's a great story. You're asking about some of the stories of people who've started TM, and this actually ties a couple of things together. I mentioned the idea that when I started TM, I was a teenager. You know, I was in college, and that was common. These days, I would say the median age of people starting TM is much closer to 50 than it is 20. So we don't see a lot of college kids. And I wondered about that for a long time. And this 22-year-old girl, she was a student at Portland Community College. She also had a full-time job. It's a really sharp girl. And she came in and she was telling me, you know, because I asked, well, what brought you in? And she said, well, that her experience of life was this incredible anxiety. Even though she was really a bright, dynamic person, she said that there were days when she had so much anxiety she could not go out of the house. And she shared a house with several other students. And she said this was a common experience. They all shared this, that they all had this heightened anxiety. Everybody was on some sort of medication for it. And it was normal. They all just accepted this as normal. She talked to somebody in her life, and I don't remember who it was, but they suggested, this isn't normal. This isn't. And she said to me, for the first time, she realized she didn't have to live this way. There was a possibility of something else. And so she came and learned TM. And within a month, it was really amazing to see the changes. Physically, her posture changed. Her head was up. She was looking out at life instead of looking at her feet all the time. But my favorite part was that she said how much she tormented her roommates because now she's dragging them out to go for walks and everybody's, you know, got their phone in front of their face. And she said, now I go out for a walk and I'm pointing out, wow, look at the shape of that tree. Isn't that amazing? Look at the color of the sky. Her perception changed, her appreciation of life changed completely. And that's it. That's the best thing I could ever hear. And I think it goes to your experience. It changes your perception. It enlivens so much more of our awareness, our brain. And people say, I feel more awake is a common word. I feel more present.
Many forms of meditation have been found useful in treating PTSD and chronic pain. There's even evidence that meditation can help rebuild sections of your brain that deal with higher order thinking skills, the regulation of blood pressure, and has even been shown to activate the insula, a part of the brain associated with compassion, empathy, and self-awareness.
If these are all different techniques, what makes them different? And because they're neuroscientists, they're looking at the brain. So what they did is they had people different kinds of meditation, and they created three categories of meditation to try and put everything into a specific category. And so there are techniques about concentration and Zen meditation, for example. And the way they categorize them is what is happening in the brain. And so these sort of concentration techniques generate gamma waves in the brain. And gamma waves are, not surprisingly, what you see if you're concentrating. So you'd see it in a student who is studying, or if you're at work focusing on your job. So problem solving, concentrating. So those sorts of techniques create that experience. Mindfulness has a different effect, and you can see it graphically. You can see it in the EEG, that it's a much more chaotic EEG. And it generates theta waves in the brain, which in itself is great. Theta waves are associated with a sort of relaxed, drowsy state. Mm-hmm. So for many people, that's a huge benefit. So certainly beneficial. Third category is called automatic self-transcending. And this, TM's about the only thing in this category. It's such a specific, unique experience. And it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, this global brain coherence. Mm-hmm. When you look at the brain of a person practicing TM, first of all, every part of the brain is engaged, and it's all doing the same thing. And this really, if you're a neuroscientist, is a remarkable thing to see, that the whole brain is enlivened and functioning coherently, which means every part of the brain's communicating. And when this happens, everything good about the brain gets better. IQ increases. Creativity increases. Memory improves. Everything good about the brain gets better when it functions in this integrated, coherent way. And at the same time, spontaneously, negative experiences, depression, anxiety, neurosis of every kind, diminish as the brain functions in a coherent way.
That's the end of part one of Our Secret Weapon. I hope you have a better understanding of the different types of meditation and how people benefit from a daily practice. If you're under a doctor's care, please continue with that care. But if you're interested in trying meditation, talk to your doctor about adding it to your treatment plan. As we learned earlier, many doctors prescribe transcendental meditation. Part two of Our Secret Weapon is where we learn how much of a weapon for peace meditation can be. You'll hear from Michael Huddleston again, and you'll hear clips from a talk given by quantum physicist Dr. John Hagelin. Here's a little sample of Dr. Hagelin's findings in his study of group meditation.
And even before the benefit of statistical analysis, you can almost see from the raw data that progress towards peace, measured by reduced war deaths, reduced war injuries, reduced number of bombs, that progress towards peace goes up and down almost in lockstep with the number of people who were meditating as a group. If you put these together, the likelihood that this reduction of war was, again, simply due to chance and not due to the meditating groups was less than one part in 10 million, million, million. There is far more evidence that group meditation can turn off war like a light switch then there is evidence that aspirin reduces headache pain, for example. It is a scientific fact.
Thank you for listening to The Good Ship Earth. I'd like to thank the director of Portland TM, Michael Huddleston. You can do a web search for Portland TM where you can learn about transcendental meditation and be able to contact Michael directly. You can learn more about my show and listen to past episodes of The Good Ship Earth by going to kxrw.fm/Good Ship Earth.